The record, State Affairs is live at 10:19 a.m. Where we left off was HB 409. We were considering amendments to HB 409 relating to SR 22 insurance. There's been an amendment circulated to the committee. Is there a motion?
I move amendment number one.
Wonderful. Ms. Schlinghag, would you be able to speak to amendment number one? And online is Marla Thompson from the DMV and Michael Spanker from the Department of Law.
For the record, this is Kathy Schlinghag, Staff to Representative Price Tompkins. Amendment one does two things. The bill as drafted would change the lifetime requirement to maintain an SR-22 for a failure to pay a judgment to a 10-year requirement. This amendment would bring it down to a 3-year requirement, which is in line with most of the SR-22 requirements, as you can see from the handout that was distributed. And the amendment would also make it so this requirement comes into play for someone who did not have insurance at the time of the accident. So if they were properly insured, but the insurance cap is too low to pay for all of the damages, they would still be required to pay the judgment, but would not be also hit with the SR-22 requirement.
Questions from the committee? Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I remember yesterday in testimony, we had a 30-day window and a 60-day window. The 30-day window, if you were to pay within 30 days, then you're clean. If you're able to pay in 60 days, you had a 20-year SR-22 requirement, and then if you didn't pay within 60 days, you had a lifetime requirement. So this just takes out the 60 and 30 days and just makes it all a 3-year, whether you're able to pay or not pay. Am I hearing that correctly with this amendment?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, that's correct.
If I may, Ms. Chair, if someone is able to pay their deal in 30 days, should they still have to be able to pay for 3 years? I'd say maybe a year, but this is a huge improvement.
Representative Ledoux.
I would actually like somebody to explain to me exactly what SR-22 insurance is. You
want to
explain that? Okay.
Representative Wall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I spoke with Division of Insurance Director Lori Wing-Hire yesterday off the record, just in passing, but this topic did come up. SR-22 basically provides the same coverage to a driver as other insurance, but it puts you in a special risk category and basically just means you pay more. And it could be 2 or 3 times more than regular insurance, but it's saying that you're a higher risk because of whatever it was that led you into this. But I just want to point out something that I think is maybe being missed right here, and that this amendment, what it says is if you don't have insurance and you incur damages, then and you can't pay them, and actually if you can pay them, you still get 3 years because the current law says if you get in an uninsured vehicle accident and you're not insured, you pay 3 years SR-22, whether you pay it or not. So what you're doing here is just saying whether you can pay it or not pay it, you're uninsured, you get SR-22 for 3 years. If you're insured and you can pay it or not pay it, then you don't get SR-22 because you're sort of playing by the rules. You have your insurance may not have covered it, you still have a judgment against you, but you're not penalized by having to get SR-22 insurance because you are an insured driver, you were playing by the rules. You did have an accident, but that's what insurance is for. I think that's what this amendment does.
I just want to pause. Ms. Schlinghag, can you confirm Representative Wall's description?
Mr. Chair, that's correct, that it does bring it in line with regular uninsured penalties. And may I also add, through the Chair, Representative Ledoux, the DMV does not actually require that you pay higher premiums. When they say SR-22, it's a form that you fill out that the insurance company proves to DMV that you have insurance. The premiums are higher because the insurance companies know if you need that form, it's because you were in an accident, and they know that you're a high-risk driver, and they are allowed to raise the premiums for high-risk drivers.
Rep. Ledoux.
So, we're simply requiring people to prove that they have insurance. So if somebody has not had an they initially got the SR-22 insurance because they'd had an accident. Why would the insurance company think that somebody was a high-risk driver because they'd had an accident which wasn't covered by insurance? You could be a great driver and have no insurance. I mean, it's not actually gelling with me.
Representative Tuck. Yeah, SR-22, I think it was revealed that SR-22 is a requirement for someone to be able to have a license, and that the insurance companies use that as charging people more, knowing that they can't drive without it. Then realistically, in, you know, real purposes, it is higher premiums for the same insurance. But I like how this amendment is working, so at this time I'd like to remove my objection.
Well, I still want to talk about it for a second.
Okay. I will object for purposes of talking about it a little bit longer, Representative Wall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think maybe I can address some of Representative Ledoux's concerns. I'm an uninsured motorist. I'm driving around, didn't pay my bill that month, my insurance lapses, I get in a wreck, I incur damages. This isn't good because I'm not insured. So I have to pay the damages and buy SR-22 insurance. According to the current law, if my damages are high and I don't pay them, then I have to get SR-22 for a long time, maybe life if I break my payment plan. But the reason the SR-22 is required is because now the DMV is saying, well, this guy was driving without insurance. The insurance company now has to send a form to the DMV saying, yep, he really does have insurance. And every year they have to send this form. And that is SR-22. And the insurance company says, well, this guy needs this form. He maybe was risky because he drove without insurance. We'll charge twice as much. He still has to buy it. I'm just saying that's what the form is, what proves to the DMV he's now an insured motorist. And that's what the DMV wants. But if an insured driver gets in a wreck and incurs damages that he can't pay, what we're doing is taking away the SR-22 requirement.
Because he is insured.
And that makes sense. Actually, wouldn't it even make more sense to require everybody, when they get their license, that there's proof of insurance?
Representative Wall, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Ledoux. Some states do require every time you renew your vehicle registration, you have a document of proof of insurance. This state, you just have to sign something saying that you do.
Maybe
it's a good faith system. It seems to work. If you're lying about it and you get caught, then you get penalized.
I would just say, interesting question, but let's not go there. Yeah. It also seems like there's a lot to dig into in this SR-22 stuff. I mean, we could even have a hearing on it next week. Although I think for the purposes of getting this bill going and the off chance we can get, I think there is some chance this bill will pass because of it's already scheduled in House Finance, and there's been conversations with the other body about this and other indirect expenditure bills, getting the skids greased. Given that we've got 120 seconds before floor ostensibly starts, I'm going to remove my objection for talking about it a little bit further. So further objections to amendment number one. seeing no further objection, Amendment number 1 is adopted, and for purposes of the record, Amendment number 1 is work order D.2. That takes the bill, HB 409, back before us as amended. Is there any committee discussion on HB 409 as amended? Is there a motion to move HB 409 from committee? And I'm sorry, we've only got a work order number to work with.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move,
or there's maybe even the full, or Representative Duck, please, go for it.
I move House Bill 409, version 30-LS1516/B from committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Seeing and hearing no objection, the bill is moved and State Affairs Committee is adjourned at 10:29 p.m. a.m.